Hello and welcome to Sports Community Podcast, produced in the studios of RPP FM 98.7, 98.3 FM, on your dial, the voice of the peninsula. My name is Joe Novella, and along with my co-host Steve Pallas, we'll bring you the latest news and information from the world of grassroots sport so you can help your club succeed. And after the show, why not visit our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au to view all our previous podcasts and free resources from a broad range of topics, including grants, fundraising, and sponsorship. And while you're there, make sure to sign up to our newsletter so you can stay on top of all the resources available to help make your club successful. Welcome to the show, Mr. Pallas.
G'day, Joe. How are you going?
I am very, very well, mate. I hope you've had... I'll get on to your holidays in a second, but we've got a very exciting show today. We've got one of the big clubs of the Mornington Peninsula joining us on the show.
Yeah, it's going to be... I'm really, really looking forward to this. We've got the president of the Sorrento Football Club, Joe Gary Wooden's coming on, and Sorrento have been in the grand final of their local football league for the last 7 years straight. So we're going to kind of go behind the scenes and look at how they've done that, because it's so much more than what happens on the field.
Now, you've been having holidays up in the up in Echuca, is it?
Yeah, right up on the mighty Murray River of Victoria, the border of Victoria, New South Wales, for our interstate and international listeners. Fair to say, Joe, I was in a good paddock. I just jumped on the scales this morning and put on 4.5 kilos since Christmas.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything, but you are looking a little bit, a little bit.
A little bit of golf with Buggy, so that really didn't help with the exercise. Water skiing, my ability to water ski lasts for about 20 to 30 seconds at a time, so that wasn't much.
Now, mate, I want to ask you, give me, what's the most important thing you need to know about backing a trailer up?
I have learned to back a trailer over the holidays.
Because it's no mean skill.
And I must say that I am quite ecstatic about the fact that I'm, you know, mid-40s and have finally learned how to back a trailer.
Which is more than I can say for myself.
Fair bit of pressure, I might add, backing a trailer on a very busy boat ramp with 10 people in front of you, 10 people behind you, and boats everywhere, and a bit of pressure, but got through it.
So you're the head honcho, you're the commander-in-chief of our organisation, and you had a bit of time to sit yourself under a tree and have a think about what was an absolutely watershed year for the organisation last year, a year in which we were able to develop training products, we were able to do some work with various organisations, including the Northern Territory Government, and a really important year for the organisation. So in that time that you've had for reflection on what we've been able to achieve in the past, what are your thoughts for the future of the organisation? What are the key milestones that you're looking for us to achieve this year?
Well, it was a big year for us, wasn't it, Joe?
Like,
it was
huge.
It was our second full year of working with the volunteers and supporting the volunteers. And we did something like, in the last 18 months, I think we've done 225 training sessions around the country in every state and territory, except for Tassie. So hopefully we'll get to Tassie this year. As far and wide as the Pilbara in Western Australia, up and into Arnhem Land, and then down through Sydney and Canberra, and extensively through Victoria with the Bowls program, Joe, where we did 92 training sessions around Victoria. And that was great for us, because we got to talk with and learn from the volunteers and those that support them, so predominantly peak sporting bodies and councils. And I guess we got a lot of information during the year about how we can help volunteers and how we continue to support volunteers be successful and achieve their goals. But more importantly, to take away a lot of the time and the stress that it takes to run a club and get back to sport. So we've got a couple of really big initiatives that hopefully will make it easier for volunteers to get the information that they need. I mean, the first of all, the website, Joe, will continue to develop the theoretical information on the website. But not everyone likes to read, and reading takes time, and you can only do it in front of a screen, whether it be a website or mobile phone. So one of the things that's really exciting is to go online and create a series of training sessions for volunteers online, so online webinars and online training. So we're working feverishly on that right now, and we'll launch that very quickly in the new year, but with a start date of after Easter.
And that's really in response to that. You're talking about the information that we've been able to gather from the grassroots sports community. It's really in response to volunteers needing to update their skills or improve their skills, that requiring training, but also needing the flexibility of being able to do it, within
the comfort
of their homes in their own time.
That's right. I mean, we run training sessions all around the country, but they may not be convenient at the times or at the locations and on the topics that people want at a particular time. So we've got a whole lot of different topics that people want, and on the social media and through our email newsletters, we'll be asking all our followers and listeners to give us their feedback on what sort of training topics they'd like included in this online webinar training session. And you can give us the feedback by emailing us at jointheshow@sportscommunity.com.au, and we'll certainly make sure we get your thoughts into that planning. And it's just another way of presenting information in the way that people want it. Our online books have been really popular, Joe, and the latest one will be launched February or March at the absolute latest, which is sponsorship.
And that's a key one, because a lot of people have told us how much they want information on how to attract sponsors for their clubs.
Yeah, by far and away, it's the most popular Huge. Session we do in the training. It's the biggest pages. It's the most popular pages on our website, and that's we're really excited to be able to bring that out in February or March at the absolute latest. A little bit delayed. We were hoping it'd be out in November, but it really was a lot more complex than we thought. The other area we're just planning out the book is really a manual for presidents and leaders of sports clubs. So everything, a how-to guide on every part of running a sports club, whether it be goal setting, whether it be social media, whether it be fundraising, whether it be social, whether it be risk management, whether it be event management, whether it be... I think we're in the planning stage. We're up to about 20-25 chapters, so that will come out mid-year, and that will be an extensively researched, book, and really creating that step-by-step process or framework for a volunteer. So it's all about taking the information that we've got, finding out what we don't have and what the volunteers want and need, getting that, and then putting it in places in ways that people will listen. We're also converting, and I'm really keen on this, Joe, also converting the books into podcasts or audio books, because, I mean, the radio show itself has been amazingly well received, and we're now getting kind of upwards of 3,000, over 3,000 people a week download the shows and taking the information that they need out of the shows and following them. So
I just want to talk about that for just quickly. That, for a lot of people out there that don't understand what that podcast means, it basically means that you can, if you've got a long drive now, a lot of cars are equipped with MP3 players. You can download our podcast and put it onto a USB and put it into your car, so you can listen to it on the way to your holidays, or you can do it via your iPhone. We also have our podcast available on iTunes. So there's a number of ways that you can access the information that we record for you.
Yeah, and as we go around the country, it's amazing how many people tell us about our podcasts and say that we listen to it every, because the podcasts come out on a Monday, Joe, and they say, well, we know it comes out on a Monday, so we listen to it Tuesday when we're walking the dog or when we're driving to work or on the train. So we listen to it every week, and we're starting to get suggestions and the level of guests and the different types of guests following on from people as interesting as, well, all our guests have been fantastic and really interesting, but people
Jeff
like
Kennett,
Jeff Kennett,
Mark Bradkey,
yeah, and people with a story to tell, which is that can help the volunteers. That's who we will be working really hard with this year. So it's really about, for us, taking the information the volunteers need when they need it, at a time they need it, in a way they want to get it. So 2015 looks like a great year for us, Joe.
Can't wait. All right, speaking of not... You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Steve Pellis and Joe Novella, another Sports Community digital production, courtesy of www.sportscommunity.com.au. Okay, welcome back to Sports Community here on RPPFM 98.7, 98.3 FM, the voice of the peninsula. As mentioned at the top of the show, we have got a very special guest with us today. His name is Gary Woodhams, and he is the president of the Sorrento Football Club. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
G'day, Gary. Steve Pellis here. Thank you so much for, as Joe said, joining the show. I have been looking forward very much for probably a couple of years now to talk to you about the Sorrento Football Club. So for our listeners around the country and interstate and international, Sorrento Football Club have play in the local football competition down here on the Mornington Peninsula and been in the last seven grand finals and won five of those in the flag, won five premierships. So, Gary, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's been a good ride so far.
Well, I want you to take us on the journey a little bit, because I remember sitting in your office, and for those regular listeners will know that I used to be the CEO of the football league that Sorrento have been dominating. And I remember sitting in your office in 2007, and you, before, I think you'd been in one grand final in the last 20 years or something at that stage, and you had just taken over the role as president, and you were lamenting the fact that Sorrento, over the winter, it's a summer playground, but over the winter it was a ghost town. And that was creating all sorts of challenges that you were starting to come up with plans and how to deal with that. So when you come over as president, where did you start with this football club?
Well, I started with a really good board, like any footy club or a lot of clubs. Who becomes president is done different ways, but I missed a meeting with some of the locals called, and I got to the next one. They said, Gary, you're president. Rob Pitt said, I'm vice president, and Trevor Garvey's the other vice president. So that's how it all started. And then we decided to put some ideas together as how to attract people to the footy. And so that's what we did from year one. Started a president's lunch, for instance, and encouraged the women to come down for the lunch, put on some good food and a good guest speaker each week, and now the girls are making sure the blokes have got booked in for the lunch. So that's been one way to get people down there, is to give them an alternative and something extra to go to the footy with.
Well, I'll really want to go into the luncheon, because it's legendary down here. But is that where you started the rebuild of the football club, with working out how we can get more people to come to the footy?
Well, that was one part of it. And the other part, we were looking for a new coach, and like a lot of things, it's not what you know and who you know. And we asked around a bit, and Grant Thomas is an old mate of ours down here, and he suggested Troy Swartz, who had just been delisted by the Saints.
Yeah.
He had a word to Troy. We spoke to him, and the idea is we encourage him to come down and become part of the community. So he moved down. He got a business going down here. So on the footy side, then he attracted some people to come as well. But as you know, we basically rely on our juniors.
Yes.
16, and every one of our premierships has had at least 16 juniors through it. So...
And that's something that
top up with a few other guys.
Oh, and when we ask clubs and in the training sessions, how do they think that Sorrento Football Club has been so successful? Inevitably, the word money comes up. But
yeah,
when it's 16 juniors is a phenomenal number to come through the local competition, because recruiting for Sorrento is not necessarily that easy, is it? Because you're the last town, so if you're recruiting from Melbourne, players got to drive past 50 or 60 other clubs to get to your club, and then there are nothing else. It's just the sea.
Yeah, most of our people we have recruited have ended up moving into the town, and So there's only a few, and they're probably local guys who might be at uni in town or something, or studying in town.
Yeah.
But I think there's only one last year who had to drive down for training twice a week.
Yeah.
So it's a real bonus to have that junior club up and running well and sending us through some terrific players.
Is the junior club part of the senior club, or no, it's separate?
It's a separate club, but we're very closely aligned. The junior club board probably has more work to do than the senior club. It's a very, very difficult, time-consuming job, the juniors. But it's a separate board, but we have a very close relationship.
So how much does the senior club get involved, and I mean the players and the coaches and those sorts of, in the junior club and creating that link between the senior and the junior club?
Well, the link's basically created through common families, and a lot of the families have been here forever, and the ones that have come through the seniors have other younger brothers or whatever in the juniors, and it just seems to have been the people running the juniors are local, like the people running the seniors, and it's a reasonably small community and everyone seems to know each other. And basically we've always had terrific relations with the juniors.
Yeah.
And if they want someone to go to training or someone to do something, or we can combine in any area, we'll always get together because we know that the juniors is our future.
Yeah, so there's a big investment in the juniors.
Yeah.
Huge number of clubs overlook that really obvious
Well, it's a matter of them encouraging the kids to come on and come through, and a lot of clubs, and we might from time to time struggle for those 18, 19-year-olds, and they've just sent the unders have gone to under-17s now instead of under-16.
Yeah.
And the senior club starts at under-19s. The commission says that that's all to do with retaining kids, so we'll see what happens. But it is a problem with all sports, I think, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids keeping going.
Yeah, and also creating opportunities for them, because there's only one under-18 team normally in town, where the 17s and 19s creates two teams.
Yeah.
But what you're really talking about, one of the strengths of your club is the culture of the club, and I vividly remember being a guest of the luncheon, and we'll talk about that in a tick because they're brilliant, and standing with you and the president of the Dramana Football Club, so this must have been in 2008, and I vividly remember Sereno won the game, the players walked off, and we were just standing around talking, and then all of a sudden the 22 players that played the game, still in their gear and many of them in their boots, came back out. And I thought, geez, this is a bit strange. And then they got the rubbish bins and they started walking around the oval picking up the rubbish. And I remember saying to you at the time, I'll always remember, okay, what on earth is going on here? And your reply was, this is the players' way of thanking the volunteers for putting on the day for them. And
yeah, well, that's where it's a good warm down of a do that. They, I think it was Tony Blackwell probably started it. He was our premiership coach in 2004.
Tony Blackford, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he started that idea in consultation with the playing group. It's continued on. I think most of the teams seem to do that now, followed that, and they all walk around and collect all the rubbish that hasn't been put in the bin, so everyone's thankful for that.
All the volunteers. How do you go? I mean, you've had some very high-profile recruits come down and play for you. How do you go when you're trying to recruit them and encourage them to drive past the 50 or 60 other clubs to get to Sorrento and say, oh, by the way, at the end of every game, you've got to walk around and pick up the rubbish?
Well, some of the ones who have played league football a bit bemused by it, but they all join in, and the guys that do come to us basically come through a friend of a friend, or they know someone and want to come down and play anyway, so that's another beauty of it. Those guys have got some good contacts, and like we have to have Lenny Hayes playing this year, and he's a good friend of Troy, he's the coach. And he basically volunteered to Troy. Troy sort of joked with him that once you come down and have a kick, and apparently Lenny rang back before Christmas and said, I wouldn't mind doing it. So that's yet to all be totally confirmed, but it looks like it'll probably happen.
Is that just for a one-off, or...?
Oh, no, it'll be a It'll be for a few games. Won't be just, we're not into just those cameo appearances.
No.
Hopefully you'd play, you know, 8-10 games for the year.
Yeah.
Depends if his body holds up, so we'd be more than happy to see him playing.
Oh, absolutely. Now, one of the big things, when you appointed Troy Schwartz, I remember that because it was on a longer-term contract. Was it a 3 or 5 year contract that you...
Three, I think, to start with, and then it was just a handshake from then on.
Yeah.
And, you know, the success we've had, apart from the year he stood down for other reasons, then... You wouldn't be trying to change coach too quickly.
No, but do you think that that long term, whether it's a contract or, you know, but everyone knew straight up that he was there for the long term. Do you think that made a difference or didn't matter because most clubs just appoint year by year to see how they go? But I remember thinking that it was a masterstroke of saying, right, this is the strategy we're going to use for the next 3 years.
Yeah, well. Probably Trevor Garvey's master stroke. He's the football manager, but I think that helps settle everyone down and gives you a bit of security and know where you're going for a while. And especially when you've got a really good guy, you've appointed a really good first playing coach. It certainly doesn't hurt, I don't think.
Yeah, and I think that is the key with Troy. I think he is a genuinely really good person. I mean, he can play football, but he's a really good person, and he came down and made himself part of the community. I think from the first week he was in the community, he went and played for the cricket club and smacked 100, I think.
Yeah. And then he sold his house in town. He moved down here, you know, within 6 months and has never looked back. So it's all been great for him and even better for us.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the other, I guess, masterstroke that I saw, apart from appointing Troy, was the luncheons that you started to put on. Do you want to just run us through the background to the luncheons and what they actually are, but how you do them?
I've been to in town, smaller footy clubs, one or two of them used to put on a lunch, and I could see that had maybe have some benefit down here, and put on the first one, we had about 50 or 60 people too, and as we built it up, there was more women coming along. That made the audience, the whole room, softer and nicer. And then we got even terrific guest speakers. We've had some magnificent guest speakers down there for the lunches. And it really gives it a good community atmosphere.
So you had the...
It encourages people, another reason for people to come down to the footy.
So you had the lunches every home game, don't you?
Every home game, yeah.
So run us through some of the speakers. I know that the time I came was Jeff Lord, who was incredibly funny, and you've had Megan Gale. I tried to
Cheedy
get to.
And we had a Justice Betty King, Justice of the Supreme Court. We've had people from overseas and locals. So the struggle sometimes to get them all there. We've had comedians, and but once again, it's not what you know so much, but who you know, and the. With various contacts we've got, we've been able to encourage people to come down and give us their time normally without any charge.
Yeah, it's... well, the thing... So the luncheon, you'd be seating 100-odd, 120?
We average about 130.
So every home game you're putting on 100 meals for... And it's a high-quality meal too for 130.
Yeah, once again, it's we're lucky Rob Pitt, who owns the Sorrento Hotel Empire... we were able to prep the food at his hotel, and one of the chefs comes down and finishes it off at the club rooms, and we have proper service, waiters, and so once again, you know what who you know who can help you, and that's been a bonanza for us.
So, well, are you still getting them? I had a look on your website the other day, and you've got them all listed there, and it says the round one's selling very fast, nearly sold out. And
round one would just about be sold out now because that's Easter Saturday, I think.
Oh, of course, and then
but it might be. Hopefully, it'll be Lenny's first game, and so we're expecting a pretty big crowd, especially if it's going to be a big crowd anyway. But it'll be huge if. One or two of our new recruits are playing.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I saw the last round of the year against your arch rival and neighbour, Rye, is selling fast as well.
But yeah, well, that's always the, I mean, it's a huge rivalry between both the clubs, but I think most of the kids have known each other through school, and fierce on the field, they have a good time off it.
Yeah.
And Rye might be, they well be favourites this year with the recruiting they've done. So we'd expect them to have a tremendous year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing that what Ryan and Sorrento have done over the last couple of years. But back to the lunch for a tick, how many volunteers have you got involved in putting on the lunch itself on match day?
We'd have about 8 volunteers just for the lunch. We do have to pay a couple of professional people to serve the food.
Yes.
And I think Rob Pitt sponsors the chef.
Yep.
There'd be about 3 paid people, and the rest would be all volunteers.
Yeah. And now,
we set up with, there's a group of about 8 to 10 set up every Friday afternoon.
Yep.
Get everything ready. There's a lot of work setting the tables and making sure everything's right, getting the seating right, trying to squeeze everyone in.
Yep.
So it's a 2-day affair, really, the lunch.
Yeah, so it's a big investment, and I think that's where the discussion came about when part of what we were talking about when I was watching the players walk around the oval was that you were telling me just how many people it takes to run a football club and how many people are involved and in some way, shape,
or form. Yes, I remember first Friday before our first game, I went down there, volunteers marking the ground, doing the goalposts, doing parts, the canteen, the people just everywhere. It was a hive of activity, which you never notice when you're just a person in the crowd. You just go and have a soft drink and a pie or something and watch the game. But it amazed me the amount of people that turn up just without being rostered or anything. They're just there. They've got a job to do and they do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and for our travels around the country talking to clubs, I think that's the difference between the successful clubs, regardless of how you judge success or measure success, and those that are not so successful is that culture of volunteering within the club. I mean, it's the successful clubs just have mountains of people doing something.
Yeah, well, you can see some of the ones that are struggling, that they're obviously struggling for volunteers as well. So, and it is difficult, but once you get a nucleus of people, like Sunday morning, we'll have a clean-up team of another 10.
Yeah.
To go and finalise around the ground, make sure the rubbish is done, clean up inside, get everything ready for, including the change rooms, properly for the next training night on the Tuesday night, or the juniors who might be there on a Monday. So it just keeps on going, but we find most, well, no one who turns up doesn't want to be there. They all turn up because they want to contribute.
And so when people walk in the club for the first time, is it something that you consciously promote, that volunteering within the club, or is that just part, that's the culture, and so that's just organically, that's just how people now behave at your club?
Well, I'd hope so. I mean, we're struggling with our canteen for this year already, and I know in the end it'll all come together, but that's one of the biggest jobs in the whole club, and some clubs are lucky enough to have their juniors and netballers go and help run it and all sorts of things. So we're just looking for options on that this year. But I think it's, you know, it's when place gets a field and when other people want to associate with it, they want to come down and help. And they're all local. Everyone says we're a money club. We'd be not near the top of the echelon as far as spending goes, but there seems to be a lot of people who want to come and help.
Yeah, it's been amazing watching the, as I said, remember speaking with you in 2007, you were saying this is our plan and this is what we're going to do, and then to watch it unfold, possibly even you probably wouldn't have expected to be in the final for the next 7 years, grand final for the next 7 years.
Yeah, we went out in a straight set the first year and have been in every grand final since.
I did notice that your sponsorship packages and for this year do include a grand final video, so I'm not entirely sure if that's for last year or this year coming. So
I'm not sure. we're lucky after the sub-secretary, Marie Smith, a genius, and she puts all that together spends a lot of time on it. So if Marie's put that on there, that'll happen.
So that'll happen. You'll get another. You'll get a. You'll make another grand final just so you can fulfil your sponsors' commitments.
Well, every one of them is totally nerve-wracking grand final. Sometimes you wish you weren't there.
Yeah. Oh, you've played in some absolutely stunning games.
Oh, we've had 1 point, 2 points, 3 points.
Oh,
yeah, and we've been belted once, so you know what it's like.
Yeah, I'm a Richmond supporter. I wouldn't be able to tell you what a grand final's like, but and played my footy at Tyabb, so we didn't do much there either. But
your last premiership coach, Tony Jewell, spent a lot of time down at the Cerrito Football Club.
Yeah, well, his son...
Son's coaching over at Rosebud.
Yeah.
Played with us for a year or two
Did play with you.
You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Jonah Vella and Steve Pallas. If you've missed a couple of our episodes, why not visit our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au, and there you'll find all our previous podcasts that you can download. And while you're there, give us a review so you can help spread the news about Sports Community and its services to the grassroots sports clubs. Okay, we've come to that time of the show again. Unfortunately, when we have to say goodbye, you've been listening to us, Sports Community Radio, here from the studios of RPPFM 98.7, 98.3 on your dial, the voice of the peninsula. You can follow us from our website, www.sportscommunity.com.au, where you can get our latest podcasts if you've missed a few episodes, and a whole lot of other great information, including the latest in grants and resources such as how to develop your sponsorship packages and run your annual general meetings, for example. Okay, so we hope you've enjoyed the show. From myself, Jonah Vella.
And myself, Steve Pallas. Thank you for making us part of your sports community.